You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
We present the stories of Sherlock Holmes.
As a medical man, I'd always been a great believer in looking to nature for the secret of health. A balanced diet with everything in moderation. Gentle and regular exercise, and plenty of sound sleep. But of course, we all tend to become self-indulgent from time to time. When that happens, I resort to more drastic means. Holmes and I sweated it out in the steam room for a good 20 minutes to half an hour.
Had enough, Watson?
Yes, I think so. This is going to lose me pounds in weight.
It'll all go back on again quite soon. It's purely water weight. Come on, then. Let's have a shower in the next room and then a good massage. I don't want to spend all day in here.
Right. Oh, where's my towel? Right. Come on. This will turn us up. Feel like new men after this.
It's interesting to contrast the effects of heat and cold upon the human body. I suppose this would be quite the wrong thing for a man who was ill to do.
Yes, well, it depends upon the illness. His heart was weak. Yes, I suppose so. Well, here goes. Two or three minutes of this will be enough. Rub down with a rough towel and 20 minutes of heavy massage.
I think you have a streak of masochism in your nature, Watson, but, well, I'll take your word for it.
Yes, that's better. Feel fitter already. Oh, gracious Holmes, what's that?
Young lass like you. How dare you call me a lass? Vera is vain. You'll beg her only be to be quiet. Get out of here. Stay out. I shall do nothing of the kind. I have as much right to use these baths as you have. I come here regularly and I shall continue to do so. And no stupid mad old inventor is going to...
Good morning, you Ashby. I can't tolerate your persecution much longer.
I don't want to persecute you. I want to ignore you.
I find you interfering in any way. You what?
Think a weak, feeble old fool like you can scare
I'll
me?
I'll find a way to make you pay for this. I'll kill you
if you get the chance. It would be quite simple for me to put you out of your misery first.
Why, gentlemen, please. There are other people in here. This is a respectable establishment. We can't allow personal quarrels to take place within these walls. Now, kindly dress and leave here as soon as possible.
Very well. But I warn you, Kenyon, I won't tolerate much more of this. You'd better pull yourself together and be more reasonable. You'll regret it.
And you'd better mend your ways, and above all, stay away from my daughter.
Common oaf. No good loafer. Only after her money, I know that.
Now, that's enough, sir. I must ask you to leave. There are other clients waiting. Have that way out, please. Good morning, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson. I'll be with you in a moment.
Watson? Did you say Watson? Yes, a strange morning. We are meeting all the odd types in here. Remember me, Watson? Rex Kenyon.
The search department at Battersea Institution.
Yes. Of course I do. Some years ago. I never have known you. You've changed so considerably.
Oh, lost a bit of hair and slimmed down. On the other hand, you look portly and prosperous. Suppose you quacks always win, huh? Come out on top. The only people who can bury their mistakes, huh? Well, I can't waste more time in here. I'll be back next week. I'll leave your tip at the office. Goodbye, Watson.
What an extremely unpleasant man. Yes, he always was, if I remember.
Just make yourself comfortable on the massage table, gentlemen. You first, Dr. Watson. Just relax, Mr. Holmes. Sleep, if you like.
I should think sleeping in here is almost impossible.
I don't know. Some people do. Back and shoulders first, Doctor.
Who was that man, Watson? Rex Kenyon, did he say?
Yes, that's right. I met him some while ago when I was doing some research at the same institute. He used to be a very clever scientist. Turned his attention to many inventions. Patents for dozens of things, from steam pumps to vacuum flasks.
Vacuum flasks?
Yes. Small portable flasks for carrying hot drinks. Doesn't seem to have caught on, or perhaps he can't find a firm to mass produce them.
He uses one himself. Brings in cold water to drink. I think it's largely laced with brandy. Rex Kenyon's a very complex man. Terrible temper, you must have heard.
Who was the man he was arguing with?
Young John Ashby. Another one with a foul temper. Apparently, Ashby's keen on Kenyon's daughter, causing untold trouble. They come here and raise Cain.
No wonder you allow it.
Oh, I've complained, and they've been warned that it's got to stop. We tried to persuade them to make different appointments, but each claims he was first in booking his house. Oh, very trying.
Well, I must say, I'm shocked at Kenyon's appearance. He looks dreadfully ill to me. Oh, can you concentrate on my right shoulder? I think I've a touch of fibrositis there. Yes, that's it.
Yes, a bit of a knot here. Just under that old wall.
I suppose the incident with Rex Kenyon would have been totally forgotten if we hadn't had a visitor a couple of days later. I came home in the afternoon to find Mrs. Hudson had just announced a young lady.
Ah, Watson, back just the right time. This is Miss Vera Kenyon. She's come to see you and not me. Shall I leave you?
Oh, please. Please, Mr. Holmes, please don't. The fact is, I would welcome your advice.
Oh, what's it all about? Oh, do be seated. I assure you that we shall both help you if we can.
Well, my father is Rex Kenyon. I believe you were acquainted with him some time ago. You met at the Raynor Steam Bars the other day.
Yes, that's right. Well, I must say I'm surprised that he mentioned the fact to you.
Well, it just came up when you were talking of ways of keeping healthy. And this is really why I've come to you, Dr. Watson. I'm quite convinced my father is very, very ill. He's a brilliant man, as you must know. He's been deteriorating in health quite rapidly. And it's affecting his whole personality. He will not go to a doctor. He hasn't his faith at all in the medical profession. I'm worried to death about him.
Yes, well, how do you think I can help?
Well, you are the only doctor he even knows. Can you not call at our house, quite socially, and persuade him to let you examine him, advise him?
Well, if I thought it would succeed, I'd agree immediately. But it's quite clear that your father would not allow me to even talk about his health. He'd never consent to taking my advice. And it only caused an ugly scene. I imagine you find it difficult enough as it is.
Becoming intolerable. I have no life of my own. Recently, I became engaged to a young man, John Ashby. I was forced to break off the engagement when father behaved like a madman, ranting and screaming and threatening to cut me off without a penny. I'm afraid John also has a bad temper. Between the two of them, I'm at my wit's end.
I'm sorry, I really don't think I can help at all. What do you advise, Holmes?
I should think a change of scenery for all concerned would be the best plan. Can you not persuade your father to take a short vacation, get away into the country, even for a few weeks?
I have suggested this many times. He'll not hear of it. All he wishes to do is spend most of the day in his workshop attached to the house, drink at the public house, the Falcon, and visit the steam baths three times a week. It's the pattern of a total eccentric, but he will not break it.
I cannot see what we could do to help.
Mr. Holmes, if a visit by Dr. Watson to our home will anger Father, then can you not call? You're famed for your scientific approach to life. Surely you and Father could find something in common. Perhaps you might have an influence over him.
I very much doubt it. If anything specific arises, I will most certainly call upon you. But like Watson at the moment, I don't see what good I can do.
I'm sorry, but that's that.
It must have been over a week later that I came down to breakfast to find Holmes eagerly reading the Morning Standard, which was propped against the toast rack.
Ah, Watson, come sit down. Pour yourself some coffee. Eggs and bacon on the sideboard. Help yourself and listen to this. Inventor found killed in Turkish bath, Mr. Rex Kenyon. Well-known inventor of patent domestic appliances, was found stabbed to death in the Reno Road Turkish bath and gymnasium late yesterday afternoon. He was heard to be quarreling violently with another client in the steam bath earlier. The body was found by Mr. Paul Simmons, a masseur. Scotland Yard are investigating. And a young man has been held for questioning.
Yes. Sounds as though Vera Kenyon's young man's in trouble. Almost a duplication of the situation we witnessed from last there. Those two threatening to kill each other. Oh, we heard them say so.
Yes, now it's happened. Well, I said I would help Miss Kenyon if the need arose, and as it's clearly a case of murder... Ah, that may well be the lady herself. Would you answer the door?
When I opened the front door, I was surprised to see not Miss Vera Kenyon, but Inspector Lestrade of Scotland Yard. Of course, I invited him up straight away. It seemed he had called about the matter we'd been discussing. Holmes poured him coffee, urged him to smoke his pipe, and get down to the purpose of the visit.
Oh, well now, I see from the newspaper lying amongst the breakfast things that you've read of the death of Rex Kenyon in those Turkish bars. I believe you knew him.
Well, Watson knew him slightly. I only saw him once in those very steam baths.
Oh, we were actually expecting his daughter when you rang the bell. She came here to ask me if I could help her with her father. He was a very hot-tempered, eccentric man who led her a terrible dance. We witnessed a very ugly scene when we saw him on the occasion that Holmes has mentioned. He quarreled violently with the young man, John Ashby.
I take it that they quarreled yet again, and that Ashby is the young man you're holding for questioning.
We have done that. We were forced to release him. You're well informed.
Oh, not nearly as much as I should like to be. Please, tell us more.
Well, you're right. Kenyon and Ashby frequented those Turkish baths. They were continually meeting and always fighting. It seemed that yesterday afternoon at about 4 o'clock, they both arrived at the baths. They undressed in the changing room and they entered the steam room. Rex Kenyon carried his refreshment flask as usual. They entered at different times and couldn't have been pleased to see each other. They were the only two people in this, the hottest room. It was only a matter of minutes before the masseurs waiting in the outer room heard them quarreling.
You're a dirty hound. It's a worm.
Shut up. Go to the devil.
You stop hounding me, following me about. Follow you. Oh, I'd be only too pleased if I never saw you again, you old goat.
You're a sneaky young blackguard. Ah.
You'd like to see me dead, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
Then you'd try and get at my daughter's inheritance, you'd swear.
Oh, shut up. Shut up, you old fool, or I'll make you...
The argument continued for a few more minutes. Then John Ashby came out of the hot room and walked across to the headmaster, Atterbury.
Oh, yes, yes, we know Atterbury. Good man at his job.
And I think a sound witness. He told me in great detail all that happened next.
Mr. Ashby came straight out of the hot room and into our parlor. I saw him. He was naked except for a towel around him. This he discarded when he lay face down on one of our benches and demanded a cold sponge treatment. I got to work on him straight away, hoping that the cold water would cool his temper, too. He's a powerful young man. I could tell he was still very angry. Some 10 minutes passed. No one came in or out of the bath during that time, I can swear to that. Then another client, stripped for the hot room, came through from the changing room and entered it. Well, seconds later, there was this dreadful scream. We all rushed forward. Rex Kenyon was lying on his back on a bench with blood still flowing from a wound over his heart. He was dead. Well, I closed the place up and sent for the police. Nothing was touched, no one allowed to dress or move until they arrived. And that's the whole story.
And no weapon was found, either in the heat room, the showers, or your massage parlor.
The local police made a thorough search. It's easy in a Turkish bath. The rooms are empty, save for benches and towels. There's simply no place where a weapon like a dagger or knife could be concealed. No windows to throw things out of, everything quite sealed in. Frankly, Inspector, I don't know what to make of it, but everything I've told you is the absolute truth.
So that is the position. Well, it's baffling, Holmes. There's simply no murder weapon.
Yet you suspect young Ashby. Will you arrest him?
Oh, we should. Clearly he is the murderer. He threatened to kill Kenyon many times in front of witnesses. He was the only other one in that hot room. Kenyon and he were quarreling. No one else could have done it. It has to be Ashby.
If he came out after the quarrel, clad only in a towel, and instead of going back into the changing rooms, where he could have got rid of the murder weapon concealed under the towel, he stayed for a naked sponge down. Was there any blood on Ashby's towel?
No, it was spotlessly clean, pure white.
Hmm.
You see, it doesn't make sense. We know this young man is the murderer, and yet we simply can't prove it. It sounded just the sort of intricate puzzle that you so enjoy. That's why I came round here. What do you think, Holmes? Are you interested in working on the case?
Well, as I promised to help Vera Kenyon, I'm more or less committed, am I not? Yes, I will give the matter my immediate attention. The first thing, of course, is a visit to the baths and an interview with the masseur, Atterbury. Yes. Might come along, Watson?
We went immediately to the Turkish baths, and Holmes had a long talk with Atterbury, who simply repeated everything he'd told Lestrade. The steam room was not working. Nothing had been touched since the baths had been closed down. We both knew our way about the place, but it was clearly a waste of time. Then Holmes suggested taking a hansom to the Kenyon home. Lestrade knew where it was, and when we arrived, we found a tearful Vera Kenyon and a rather belligerent John Ashby.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, how good of you to come. I know John didn't do it. He didn't kill my father.
Of course I didn't. I didn't like the old man. We hated each other, and it's no use pretending we didn't. I know that the circumstances are dead against me. I can't see how he could have been murdered, and I don't know who was responsible, but it wasn't me.
If my father had killed John, I could have understood it. He didn't want John anywhere near me or the house. Why should John want to kill Father?
It has been suggested that with your father out of the way, you would inherit a great deal of this estate. If you married John Ashby, then he would automatically become a rich man.
That's a lie. A flaming great lie. And if I meet up with whoever said that, I'll...
John, please.
You also have a violent, ungovernable temper.
All right, I admit it. My temper goes as quickly as it comes.
Lots of murders are committed in acts of rage.
But I didn't do it. I swear I didn't. Please, Mr. Holmes, you've got to believe me.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. This killing wasn't committed on the spur of the moment. It was quite premeditated and cunningly thought out.
Oh, well, perhaps you will be able to tell us what Ashby cannot. Who killed Kenyon? How did he get rid of the weapon? And what do we do now?
Well, I don't know about you. Perhaps someone could arrange a pot of tea. But I should like Miss Kenyon to show me over the house, and in particular her father's workshop. That I should be most interested to see.
Oh, but of course. John, would you be good enough to step into the kitchen and ask cook to give us tea up here in half an hour? Do you wish to see the house also, Dr. Watson? If so, then please come with me. I'm sure you'll excuse me, won't you, Inspector?
We left a rather bewildered Lestrade and an irritated John Ashby and were shown over the house. Holmes just glanced into the rest of the rooms, but was clearly most interested in the outbuilding. It was a large, well-equipped type of workshop, filled with benches, Bunsen burners, retorts, metal gadgets, and dozens of tools, each appropriate to the experiment being conducted according to the plans pinned above the bench. It was a fascinating place, one in which Holmes could have spent many hours, but he appeared to know just what he was looking for. He prowled around until he came upon a small desk. On the wooden frame was a small design sketched on squared paper.
Ah. Yes, this is interesting, Watson. See, it's a sort of scabbard. Your father did a great deal of work in metal, Miss Kenyon?
He worked in all types of material. Yes, he welded metal into all kinds of instruments and designs.
Now, I wonder what happened to this particular subject. Yes, in a drawer, perhaps. No, there's nothing here, although a small book.
Deliveries of materials, I think. Orders for things needed.
Ah, it says here, 7 pounds of ice, cylinder of CO2 gas. Ah, that seems to have been ordered several times, and the last delivery on the day of his death. Yes, now I think all is clear.
Look, I'm pressed if I can follow this.
Neither can I.
I cannot explain. The only way I can tell you what happened is to show you a practical demonstration of your father's abilities. Now, wait just one moment. I need to look around. Yes, it's clear that if something is intended not to be found, it will be deliberately thrown away, and so the dustbins and rubbish boxes. Now here, this. Now what about this?
What on earth is it?
Looks like some form of metal mold.
Ah, good, good. What? And that's exactly what it is. And now the gas cylinder. Where did they take the empty ones to be taken away?
I think there, by the back exit. Yes. Look, there's one by the door.
Yes. This is what we're after. Do you have ice in the house, Miss Kenyon? It is very important.
Yes, I think in the kitchen. Father installed his own type of gas refrigerator.
Then please go and get me a bucketful and ask Mr. Ashby and Inspector Lestrade to come here at once, please. The tea can wait.
Oh, very good, Mr. Holmes.
Now, Watson, help me to bring that cylinder back near to this bench, will you? This experiment?
I did exactly as Holmes instructed. And by the time Vera Kenyon had returned with the ice and Ashby and the inspector had joined us, Holmes appeared satisfied. He started on his demonstration.
I don't know how familiar you are with chemistry experiments, but of course Rex Kenyon was an expert. He successfully invented a small type of vacuum flask, the Kenyon flask, which kept the liquid poured into it at exactly the same temperature, be it boiling hot or ice cold, for many hours. He also knew that CO2, carbon dioxide, has a very low freezing point, 80 degrees centigrade. And as it comes out of the cylinder and mixes with the air, it turns into very fine crystals. Now watch. Now observe, this is a metal mold. It looks like a small scabbard in which one places a vicious dagger. Now, this ice-cold material is forced into the mold, directed like this, and forced with ice to be compacted in. Now, notice that if I touch it, I shall virtually burn myself. So the reaction of the skin will be like that of a fierce flame. So, I use a block of ice which I can touch. Now, if that is left to assume the shape of the mold, and when solidified, taken out, what do we have? A perfect ice dagger. That is the weapon with which Rex Kenyon killed himself. It was not murder. It was suicide made to look like murder, and done so that another man's life should be forfeited. That's what this case is all about.
It wasn't until we were back at Baker Street and I was mulling over all that Sherlock Holmes had demonstrated that the pieces of the jigsaw began to fit together.
Kenyon used to turn up at the Turkish bath with a vacuum flask. It was the only other article than the towels that went into the hot steam room. I've often said, Watson, that when all the other possibles have been ruled out, what is left must be the answer. In this case, the only object that could be used as a weapon was the flask. Now, obviously, one could not stab a man to death with that, but with something concealed in the flask? Yes. When Kenyon was found dead with his chest wound still bleeding, the flask was on the floor. It was quite empty. So the contents of the flask. The ice dagger with which he delivered the fatal blow sank into his flesh. He collapsed, and within minutes, the intense heat of the room melted the ice. The murder weapon disappeared.
And he died hoping that Ashby would be convicted of murder. But why, Holmes? I mean, why did he kill himself?
I think as a medical man, you can guess, Watson. You remarked that he looked desperately ill. I believe a post-mortem will show that he was suffering from an incurable disease, that he had only a few months to live. That's why he had to work quickly. Well, let's hope Lestrade realizes the truth, and the truth is the only answer.
Listen again next Sunday to The Stories of Sherlock Holmes, with Graham Armitage as Holmes and Kerry Jordan as Dr. Watson.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners. and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Watson has a medical practice to attend to. It's rather worrying. His appointment book, have you seen it anywhere?
Well, he usually keeps it in his doctor's bag, but I did find this on the all-stand sort of note.
Let me see. 5, Westley, EC3, Tuesday, 10th, Royston.
Present the stories of Sherlock Holmes.
A Friend in Need.
I was doing very nicely in my practice and thinking of going into partnership with an old medical colleague. His name was Royston. I'd met him on several occasions and knew he was engaged upon opening up a medical centre in one of the poorer parts of London. I didn't think twice about the authenticity of the proposal. One Tuesday, I called at a very grim and rather dilapidated building called Westley, just off the river. I was totally unprepared for my reception, for instead of meeting my old friend, I was shown into a small anteroom. It was dark. I couldn't see properly. Before I knew what was happening, hands seized me from behind. I struggled valiantly, and then a violent blow against the side of the head caused me to gasp. Stars swam before my eyes, and I lost consciousness.
Couldn't have been easier.
See him falling for it like that?
Yeah, you'd think anyone who'd associated with Sherlock Holmes would be a bit more careful.
What's the next step?
We get him out and into a cab. Drive him to the boss's nursing home. From then on, it's nothing to do with us.
They're not thinking of knocking him off, are they? I mean, it's not murder.
No, the idea is to hold him as hostage, that's all. This is the one way of getting at Holmes. Those two have been buddies for years. If anything can tempt Holmes out into the open, this is the man. Come on now, prop him up.
Yeah.
He'll be coming round soon. We want to have him safe and sound by then.
It's not going to be easy getting him into a cab. He's a big bloke.
No bigger than I am. We'll switch clothes. I'll carry the doctor's bag and it'll look like we're helping a patient home.
Yeah.
Here we are. Check the street.
Yeah, looks all clear. Getting just gas lamps aren't on yet. But there's more than a bit of fog gathering. Yeah, right to you. Come on. No more talk. Get him on his feet.
Right. He'll be able to put one foot in front of the other. By the time he comes to, he'll be in the nursing home, with no idea of where he is or how he got there. Come on.
What?
You support him under one arm, and I'll take the other. Here we go. Hurry now.
So that's the position, Lestrade. Watson is missing, and there's no trace. As you know, this is completely unlike him. I'm quite certain something's happened. He would never have remained silent if it had been possible for him to get a message to me.
Might have met with an accident. Have you tried the hospital?
Well, yes, of course. Watson's well known in most of the local hospitals. There's no report of anyone answering to his description being found.
And what do you think it's all about?
Well, I'm afraid I take it very seriously. This could be someone's way of getting at me. At the moment, there seems very little we can do except wait. But I should appreciate your help.
Of course. Anything I can do?
I need to carry out an investigation into a place in EC3. Now, all I have to go on is two names. One is Westley and the other is Royston. Now, these were scrawled on a note that Watson must have left by accident on the hall stand when he was putting on his coat. Can I have a couple of men and do a search of that river district?
Of course. I'll do better than that. I'll even come along myself. What do you say to that? Now, this sudden fog is not going to make our task any easier, Holmes.
No, but in a way, it's an advantage. One can remain more secretive in the heavy mists. Look, I think we're on the right track. That large building over there. I have a shrewd idea that it's empty. And I think... Yes. Look here, see by the light of my dark lantern. The street is Wesley. Now, that building will be number 5, and if it is, well, we're in luck.
I might remind you that we don't have a search warrant.
Oh, Lestrade, you're in plain clothes. I've no intention of letting all men swarm all over the building. Come on. I think there's bound to be a window open. I'll do the breaking and entering, and you can come in through the front door. Yes, sir.
That's a nice view.
There we are. If they could see me at the yard now, I'd get a railroad telling off. What sort of place do you think this is, anyway?
No, it's just a disused house. Strange. Now, why should Watson want to call here? Now, wait a moment. Look out here in the hall. Yes, signs of a struggle. A chair knocked over, movement in the dust. And hold the lantern up. Yes, look, smudges of mud.
Yes, here, down by the wall. That looks like blood to me.
Yes, I'm afraid the good Watson got into quite a bit of trouble here. Do you see this? It hasn't rained in these parts for some days, and yet this is that grey type of mud that's found near the river. And imprinted in the mud are leaves and small particles of petals. Well, this should tell us something.
Holmes, do you seriously mean to say that Watson has been abducted?
Well, it certainly looks like it, Lestrade. But why? That's the question. Watson hasn't got an enemy in the world. It can only be because of his connection with me. Yes, so who is behind all this? That's the question.
What's the next move?
Well, I don't think we can do a great deal tonight. If I'm right, then Watson will not be in any active danger until I've been approached direct. There will be an attempt to blackmail or coerce me in some way. I think we might well find something of interest if we question the cabbies who service this district. There can't be many of them on these routes. If Watson was abducted, he must have put up a struggle. He's a big man. Well, come on, Lestrade. Let's get back on the street and see if any of your men have picked up any clues.
Nothing to report, sir. The fog has settled in good and proper. Most folk have got themselves indoors by a good fire.
Yes, something we'd all like.
Now, here comes a cab. Perhaps we should return to Baker Street and wait for events to develop. But just a moment. Hello there, cabbie. Not many fares on an evening such as this. Going off duty?
Oh, that's about it, sir. Leading the old mare back to the stables. Can't see a thing in this.
Are you a regular in these parts?
Oh, that's right, sir. Been working this part of the city for near 20 years.
Well, then you must know it like the back of your hand. Tell me, have you in the last 24 hours had reason to convey a sick man from that large house across the way there, number 5?
Oh, funny you should ask that. As a matter of fact, I did. Earlier on, there was a doctor and his assistant. He had a sick fellow with him. He was recovering from an accident. They bundled him in the cab and I took them south of the river. Place set back on its own grounds. They said it was a private sort of nursing home, sir. Why do you ask, sir?
Well, because we're most interested in this accident. Look here, I know it's a foul night and you're thinking of going home, but... could you find your way to this so-called nursing home?
Oh, yes, yes, of course I could. Come on, hop in, sir. It'll take a little time, but we'll manage it.
Ah, good man. Now, there'll be a sovereign for your pains at the end of it. Now, send your men home to their beds, Lestrade, and jump in.
There you are, sirs. This is the place where I dropped the doctor and the patient. That driveway. They say it leads up to the nursing home.
Ah, thank you, cabby. I think you can find this place again, Lestrade.
Yes, certainly I can. Quite
right.
Easy.
Right, well, that's what we're doing tonight. To attempt to enter there would be showing our hand and perhaps putting Watson in further danger. Well, I suggest that we now drive back to Baker Street. I shall be very surprised if the next move doesn't come from our adversaries. Whoever's behind this has thought it out extremely carefully. Right, Gabby, 221 Baker Street, and there's another sovereign for you if you can get us there before midnight.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, oh, I'm so so glad you're back, and you, Inspector.
Oh, Mrs. Hudson, but why are you up and about at this hour?
Well, I was worried about Dr. Watson and how you was getting on, and then I went into the kitchen to make myself a cup of tea. I spotted this on the front doormat. It's a message, and it's from him. It's got to be. I recognize his handwriting anywhere. Oh, do open it, Miss Holmes, and set my mind at rest. He must be all right.
It's only a note, not a posted letter. It certainly looks like Watson's writing. Dear Sherlock, a reassuring note to say that I'm back in town and staying with an old friend, Dr. Hugh Royston, at his nursing home. I expect to be away for another couple of days on this most interesting development, John Watson.
Oh, well, that's all right then, isn't it?
No, it isn't. It's far from all right. Huh? Watson most certainly did not write this note. He's never called me by my first name in his life. This is practically an invitation to visit that nursing home that we traced to Strayed. And we must be careful. Watson's life is all important to me. But I'll never fall into a trap like this. Never.
I had no idea where I was and knew better than to attempt to open my eyes. There were two uncouth voices and one cultured foreign one.
There you are, boss. Delivered just like we promised.
No trouble at all. Easy as pie.
How long has he been like this?
Several hours.
Then we can take no chances. He is here in the nursing home, but he is not to stay here. He must be moved once again to his final resting place. But just as an added precaution, I think a small injection into the right arm, a drug I use, is most effective. He will not regain consciousness for over a day and a night. And now the syringe. Yes, the skin is neatly punctured, so no question of pain. Caught him just in time. Now, in an hour's time, he will be moved. This time on a stretcher in a carriage ambulance, which you will drive. He will be taken to Bale's Wharf, the number one laboratory. I shall be there to arrange things.
Will we then be paid off in full?
No, your task is not yet complete. Then we have to await the arrival of Mr. Sherlock Holmes. After he's found Watson and is a fellow prisoner, you will be dismissed and it will all be over.
You mean you're going to do them both in?
The eventual outcome of these two men is really none of your concern.
Well, we have given her hand, though. We're what is known as accessories after the fact or some such. Ain't that right?
You are being handsomely paid. That is all that need concern you.
I'm not so sure. If you get caught, then straight away.
I shan't be caught, and neither will you if you will only keep your heads and do as you're told. Now, enough of this. Come to our final preparations. There is no time to lose. Sherlock Holmes is a fast worker. And now that the overnight fog has disappeared, we must expect swift action. Come, enough of this chatter. Come, to work.
Yes, I'm sorry to behave so strangely this morning, Lestrade, but I believe this is more difficult than I thought. It's clear to me that Watson has been abducted for the sole reason of trapping me. I've therefore not rushed in, but taken things slowly. And the first essential is to establish the true identity of this man, Dr. Hugh Royston. I've therefore taken an hour of early morning looking him up in the London Medical Register. He does exist, and he lives in this street. And we're about to call upon him. Now, this way, up these steps.
Yes, can I help you?
My name is Sherlock Holmes, and this is Inspector Lestrade from Scotland Yard. Is it possible to see Dr. Royston for just a few minutes?
Please, do come in. I will inform Doctor that you have called.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Well, this looks respectable enough, Holmes. Doesn't look much wrong here.
No, I didn't think there would be.
Would you like to come through, please? The doctor will see you now.
No, thank you.
Sherlock Holmes... Great pleasure to meet you. You're a great friend of John Watson's, isn't that so? Please, won't you be seated?
Tell me what I can do for you.
It's Watson himself. He has disappeared. The only clue we have is your name and address in Wesley Street, EC3.
Precious, are you sure of this? Disappeared, you say? Extraordinary.
You can throw no light upon this? For instance, when did you last see Watson?
Some weeks ago. We'd been corresponding. I was rather keen to take a small nursing home in the East End and run it for hard-up people, the poor and delinquent. Watson agreed to consider this. The suggested site was at 5 Wesley Street, that rather derelict and seedy, run by a man called Henry von Bork.
Von Bork? So he's the man behind all this.
You know the man?
Only too well. One of the most treacherous spies in Europe. Yes, it's all becoming quite clear to me now. Von Bork is using Watson to lead me into a trap. Unfortunately, I cannot afford to ignore it. He will have no hesitation in killing Watson unless he thinks I am coming to the rescue. Thank you, Doctor. You've been a great help. Come to the street. Royston, tell me what I wanted to know. I know von Bork's mind. I know it's tortuous and arrogant. He's convinced that he can outwit me, and in order to save Watson, I shall have to allow him to think so.
Well, why don't I get a search warrant against his home, and let's raid the place? The element of surprise is always good. This von Bork won't think you'd consider such a bold plan.
You may do that by all means if you wish to stray, but I don't think that is the answer to our problem. I'm prepared to believe that Watson was enticed into that nursing home, thinking he would meet the good doctor there. But I cannot think von Bork will keep him there. It's too risky. No, he'll have him removed.
But where to?
Von Bork used to have offices in the dock area. You may recall that we thought he was using them in the smuggling case of the Blue Peter. Now, wait a moment. When we called at 5 Wesley Street, we found evidence of a struggle. Undoubtedly, that is where Watson was overpowered. Then I also observed grey mud, do you recall? Imprinted in the mud were leaves and particles of petals. Now, the flowering petals were autumn willow blossoms. Those trees only flourished down by the river. Yet I think I can trace the old offices that von Bork used. If I'm right, then that's where they would have taken Watson.
Seems to be taking a long shot to me, Holmes. Wouldn't it be better to stick to more orthodox methods?
There's no time. Von Bork will be getting anxious. He's not going to hang around keeping Watson alive if he can't get at me. Now, I've got to move. The point is, Lestrade, are you still going to back me up?
I've done so up till now. I'm not backing out when it comes to a crisis. Lead on, Holmes. I'm with you.
This is it, Lestrade. These are the offices. And I fancy Bork has been using them for experimental purposes. We have the appearance of being scientific laboratories.
Doesn't look as though they're at all occupied.
I think this way, round the side entrance. I know you do not approve of my method of entering premises, but needs must when the devil drives. Watson's always said that the police were lucky that I didn't choose a career in crime. I should be rated with the best of them. Observe, I have a full set of burglars' tools with me. Now, for instance, this door, although made of steel and padlocks, presents no problems.
Something tells me I'm going to regret this. If we're caught, it's demotion for me, no doubt of that.
Oh, nonsense. Now, here, watch. Now, come on, let's take a look.
Listen, I can see why you think Watson should be shut away in a place like this. It's quite dark.
There's just packing cases. The workrooms must be through there. Yes. This looks more like it. Fully equipped as a laboratory. Yes, we're on the right lines, all right. Look, wooden steps going down and footprints. Muddy footprints. Now, you see how staggered they are? Now, those are the sort of prints two men would make if they were carrying a stretcher. Come on, Lestrade. Now, here. Now, once our eyes grow accustomed to the dark, and Lestrade, I'm right. There, in the corner. It is a stretcher. And it is Watson.
By Jove, you're right, Holmes.
What the devil? The door. The top of the stairs. It's closed.
Caught, Holmes. Caught like a rat in a trap. I knew you would find Watson sooner or later. It all worked out as I planned. It is useless to think you can't escape. And within 20 minutes, you will both die. You see, for months, I have been working on an explosive device which is triggered up by that iron barred door closing. 20 minutes, Holmes. Goodbye.
What the devil? Holmes, we've fallen right into his hands.
Explosive device. It must be here. Down by the stretcher. Ah, look at straight. Gun cotton, sulfuric acid. Nitric acid. Look, help me to move, Watson. Right to the far corner. There's only one chance. We must make our own explosive throw. Quickly, Mr. Drake. Right over here, by the fence. Now, come on, give me a hand. The prepared cotton. It has to be 3 parts sulfuric acid to 1 part of nitric acid. It will burn without explosion on ignition. But it's laid up by that iron door. With percussion, it goes up at about 5 times the power of gunpowder.
Holmes, do you really know what you're doing?
Oh, I'd better be right, Mr. Page. Well, this really is a triumph for Herr Bork. Now listen, do exactly as I say and as swiftly as possible. Take this. Carefully now. Right. Now, here. Now get right back. That's by the far wall. Cover Watson with anything you can to protect him. The percussion, when I trigger it off, should blow the gate outwards. If it does, then we are safe. We grab the stretcher, get up those stairs as quickly as possible. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Right, I'm nearly there, well. Here goes.
Now, get down.
We've done it. We've done it. Come on.
It was some hours later that I opened my eyes. My head ached and I could hardly see. But I was aware of familiar surroundings. The clean sheets under me and the softness of the pillow which smelt of lavender. I was in my own bed back in Baker Street. I tried to speak, but I couldn't. I knew that someone was in the room with me. A friend. A friend whom I knew very well indeed.
Oh, Dr. Watson, I do believe you're coming round at last. Now, don't try to move or speak. Just lie there and close your eyes. You've had such a terrible time of it, but it's all over now. Mr. Holmes and Inspector Lestrade have got everything under control. They found you down somewhere by the river, brought you back more dead than alive. But you're all right. They've gone after the men who tried to kill you, and they'll get them. I'm sure they'll get them.
Well, they're just surrounded, Holmes. No chance of anyone getting in or out of this so-called nursing home. This is what we should have done in the first place.
Perhaps, but it would have meant sacrificing Watson, and that I was not prepared to do. All right, Lestrade, this is more your line of country than it is mine. Go ahead, do it your way from now on.
Right, men, follow me. In we go.
Well, I'll be... Not a sign. Nothing. Not a living soul in the place. Now, what do you make of that, Holmes?
I'm hardly surprised. If von Bork had been successful and killed Watson and me and you in his booby trap, then he wouldn't have wanted to stay around London to be questioned. Now, clearly this nursing home's just a blind. A hideaway until he carried out his plans. Well, I assume it worked out like this. Watson is alive and von Bork has escaped. But... he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. I'll catch up with von Bork, and when I do, it will be a fight to the death.
Listen again next Sunday to The Stories of Sherlock Holmes, with Graham Armitage as Holmes and Kerry Jordan as Dr. Watson.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.